All right, welcome into another episode of See Ball, Get Ball. I'm your host, David Pollack, and Brent Rollins joins me like always. Brent writes for Rivals and PFF, and we were just talking about the golf game, Brent. It's really fun. I finally got one of those, like, driver fittings. And here's what I realized. You don't have to be good. It's fantastic. So
technology is great.
I finally played golf long enough now since I got canned. Like I've started to get a consistent swing. So I know my swing. Well, the dude took me on the screen and he was like, okay, just swing. I hit the ball. Huge miss. He's like, all right, let me see the club. Fixes it up. I hit the ball. Less of a miss. Swing again. Three or four or five more times. My misses are like tightened up a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. So keep swinging. Show me like the swing speed, which is really fast. And the heavier shaft, I know you're not surprised by this, but the more weight they gave me, the harder I swung. So yeah. They're like, we just keep giving you more weight to slow you down and it speeds you up more. So like to get my swing speed at a cruising like low 130s, which is still pretty quick. They got it figured out, and then my misses, and they fixed it, fixed the head, fixed this, made like 6-7 adjustments, Brent. And now my misses are like this, like left side of the fairway, right side of the fairway. And I'm like, this is cheating. And he's like, you don't have to have the perfect swing. We just need to know the consistency of your swing. And so now I can carry the ball 320 now. Like, it's a totally different game. It's a lot of fun. Like,
there we go.
Yes.
Long drive competition now.
Those guys hit it like 500 now with the 75 feet shafts, but dude, it's crazy. Anyways, that is completely off topic. I hope everybody had a great Easter. One of the best times of the year always for the Pollack family. I know for the Rollins family. What I see, Brent, is the portal closes Friday. So everybody getting your fixes, getting your needs. And I see at the top, two teams, you know, Georgia and Texas that are consistently now, Texas has made the Final Four the last 2 years. Georgia obviously has been one of the premier teams in college football, making big moves and filling roster spots. And that's what I think the portal, it is about the big players, but it's also about more than that too. And I think everybody in the industry kind of realizes that.
Very much so. And I'll fray from making any, you saying heavier shaft jokes, but anyway, never mind. The before we get to that, gotta have a little fun, right? But before we get to that, though, I'm assuming you saw this news, and I'm assuming your phone kind of got this. But Coach Lee Corso announced that he will be retiring. And there will be one final show on August the 30th. So before we get into all the fun that is this element of the portal.
Yeah,
I'm just going to let you rap a little bit on Coach Corso and him.
And Brent and his kids have both went to game day with me, and they went several times over the years. And I think Brent can speak to this too, but just like class personified. I mean, one of like going on the road with Coach Corso was a lesson in humility every week. I mean, the way he treated people was second to none. I mean, he literally, first thing he was going to do to town, come to town is like find the church he was going to go to. Next thing is he's going to be in town that Friday meeting the day before game day. He's going to pace around until the headgear gets there. The headgear gets there. He's perfectly fine. He's calm again. And then about 3 o'clock when it starts to die down and everybody starts to leave, Coach Corso walks over there with his briefcase to the center and he's taking the snacks and he's shoveling them all into the suitcase. And then Coach is in his PJs by like 4:15, eating dinner, going to bed. So many isms, so many stories, so many times he looked at me and he was just like, hey, like those stats are great, kid. Hey, kid, those stats are great. It's entertainment, sweetheart. Hold on. It's entertainment, sweetheart. And just really hammered home, like everybody's got access to those things. Like make it fun, man. And I think, you know, later on days of Corso that you've seen the last whatever, he's almost 90. I mean, he's gotten older and obviously he's had several strokes and those things led into it. But when you watch him in his heyday and the one-liners and how about this Coach Corso story? He's coaching it at Louisville. No, he's in Indiana. I think he's in Indiana playing Ohio State. They're up on Ohio State. They score first against Ohio State. calls a timeout, brings his whole team onto the field, Brent. Whole team in front of the scoreboard, gets the photographer and takes a picture with Indiana beating Ohio State. Like, I mean, one of one. Like, one of the coolest, just, you know, groundbreaking, unbelievable, like, storytelling, changing, like, the headgear and how it came to fruition with Herbie and his wife. And, hey, can she get me a headgear? And it was at Columbus when and Kirby, Kirk knew obviously Columbus, Ohio, and his wife was a cheerleader there. And so, I mean, just the whole show and the evolution and what it's been, like, he's the reason. Like, his putting on the headgear got everybody around the world to talk about College Game Day, and usually in a funny way. And the celebrity pickers that jumped in year after year, and just, I mean, what a dude. What an amazing, amazing human being and a dude. Every time something happened with me and my family, I mean, when I got fired, immediately, Coach Corso, I don't know what they're doing. Like, calls me immediately, but and just, I mean, and still has the same number in the office, has a fax machine where he gets the rundown sent. Like, do not email him, none of that stuff. But unbelievable dude.
Well, it's funny that you went to the story with the snacks, because that was one that I remember you've mentioned and I've seen in person, but that was another, like, other habits or quirks that he had, but glad you went to there. But the thing that you mentioned first was actually my very first thought as it comes to him, is that in the end, for the players, for the coaches, this is competition. This is competitive. This is your job. This is your livelihood, whatever this may be. But for everybody else, it's fun. It's entertainment. You're choosing to watch game day or go to a college game or watch sports on TV at night versus going to a concert or things like that. You're choosing how to spend your entertainment dollars, and he made it fun. Games are fun, and he made it absolutely all about the fun. Like when he bleep it and threw away the gun.
Blanket. Hey, when Brent, you were there when he would hold up the helmets, you know, one team or the other, and then slam it. Like, and he didn't. The beautiful thing about Coach, and this isn't like everybody else, and we talked about this a little bit with Gary Danielson. Like, he didn't. He also did not really care what people thought. Like, he was not beholden to anybody, and Coach was going to pick who he thought was going to win, and Coach was going to do his thing, and Coach was not worried about, like, if you said something about him. And apparently he wasn't worried if you dropped F-bombs either. Like, he did him, which was so cool and so unique and so different.
Yep. All right. So his last show, August 30th. Do you think it's either one, Bama at Florida State, which he's a alum.
He's a Noel.
Or two, full circle moment, Texas at Ohio State, where he first put on the headgear in Columbus. Because
But isn't that both great choices? Like, and both ties to him. But it can't. I don't think it can be Bama FSU. I think it's got to be Ohio State. And
I agree.
Obviously, Texas. That's just a huge matchup. But yeah, where the headgear whole basically started will be a story that will be told, which will be amazing and a great way to celebrate him.
I feel like it's going to be he's going to, like, talk to Brutus, the headgear, and talk to it and almost put it on and then maybe throw it away and put the Texas, the Longhorn thing. Give me that Longhorn.
Yes, it'll give you something.
Yes, it will be entertaining, needless to say. But in actual sort of football news, Colin Cowherd broke the story in a way, not necessarily confirmed, but later confirmed. So now, Nico's at UCLA. What's, like, now that it's a thing, now that's defined, what are some of your maybe initial or thoughts after a few days to think about? Anything different than what we said the other day?
Everybody in this situation lost. Like, Tennessee got worse. That's obviously, Nico has the ability, and Nico, there's a reason they've invested in Nico. He knows the system. He's been there 3 years. Like, you saw his ability to run more last year. Like, the experience would have garnered better results, right? Like, he's seen the coverages ideally now. I think he would have gotten better, and you hope continue to grow. So Tennessee's going to miss him. And then, I mean, UCLA, it's as far as Nico's concerned, like, how does that help him? Like, he's getting a pay cut. He's not getting paid what he was going to get paid.
Plus,
and it costs three times as much to live where he's going to live. So, like, it's just, it's mismanagement. It's malpractice. Like, it's not, there's nothing good about it for Nico. Now, UCLA, yeah, interesting to me. Because they kind of did finish last year. They finished 5-7, but they finished 4-2 to end it. And they got a little momentum.
Progress.
Yeah, I mean, they made some progress. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I'll say about going to UCLA. If they win 9 games, Brent, that's a parade. Like, you get to go nuts and go crazy. So there's not a lot of pressure with UCLA. I mean, there's definitely, you know, that would be great for them to restore that and get back to 8 wins, 9 wins. Like, that would be a tremendous season. So it's just a – I mean, Tennessee lost. Nico kind of lost. UCLA won. I mean, they got a guy. Now, they just bought a guy in the portal and just, you know, which is now.
We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that in a minute. But so it's weird. It's kind of strange. But
I posed this question last week. Do you think the answer maybe is yes now or still not really likely? Do you think he looks at this as a 2-year deal?
I mean, his play is going to very much depend on what this deal is. If he goes and plays great, I'm sure there's a way he can graduate early and maybe be a grad transfer portal. You know, like,
if he plays great, I think he's going to the league.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, the situation is maybe not necessarily suited at this point. Maybe it is, and maybe he'll be just fine. But I don't know that it is, and I don't think that it is.
No. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean – like, if you were running a business, no part of this transaction and him going from Tennessee to UCLA makes sense. There's nobody in the world that would be like, oh yeah, sign me up for that. That's what I want. I want a pay cut. I want to pay more taxes, and I want to go to a team that doesn't win very much. Like, there's no part of that that looks like a good. You just went to the college football playoff with a system that is very proven. You can put up super big numbers. Your run game will always be good because of the way and the style in which your offense goes and the way you make people defend the field. And you're going to have a good, pretty good team. So, I don't see a lot of the positives for Nico. Now go have a good year with UCLA, resurrect, and hopefully play great. And hopefully the kid can make his dreams come true.
So the sort of action and then reaction, Joey Aguilar, who had transferred to UCLA from App State, now puts his name in the portal today. And, hey, there's a team that kind of needs a quarterback. Just lost a quarterback, hasn't really found another one yet. Do we actually get a quarterback trade?
Would that be a sweet switch?
I think it
for
has
way less
to
money.
It would be perfect. It would be, and especially if you're hypo and there's a bit of a, like you love the petty, I'll take their guy and do better with him than you went there,
like
and all that sort of stuff.
Than him, but here's the thing. This is why, again, we need rule changes. This is freaking terrible for college football. This is terrible. This is awful because, again, you got your starting quarterback you bring in. Now he's going to go somewhere else. Now it's going to disrupt somebody else's roster. Like, I mean, the Pena kid from Syracuse, we're probably going
to
get there.
Oh, he's on the list of things to talk about. Yep.
I'm just saying, like, again, a team captain, like voted a team captain in December. I mean, now you're not a captain, obviously. And just who you're building your leadership around. Like, I just don't, this window doesn't make sense to me. Like, it makes sense for craziness and it makes sense for chaos. And I think
if you're in the content,
it's great, but it makes it a lot harder to be a team builder and start to build. Like we talked about with Dan Mullen when he was on the show a couple weeks ago and building the team and what you want to be. Because now you got the most important position that's changing spots. Maybe, you know, after the spring game, which probably isn't the best idea, but.
All right, so in baseball, we get player for player or player and maybe some minor leaguers. In basketball, you got to, like, match salaries, and there's picks, and there's trade exemptions in the picks. In the pros, for the most part, it's just picks for players. Rarely you get a player for player, but for the most part, it's just, hey, I'll give you this guy, and you give me a third-round pick kind of thing. What if we had trades in college football? What would they look like?
Holy cow. Like, you,
because I made a joke on Twitter today, like, would it be a 3-star recruit to be named later? would there be cash considerations? Like if you look at the trades,
wouldn't that be crazy? Like if the next evolution of college football becomes there's trades, like, I mean,
maybe that's how the SEC gets away with, or gets out of their rule where they can't transfer within schools. They have a trade.
I mean, you think about the glad handing, the certain teams working with certain teams, and just there's so many institutions and so much. There'd be so much to try to like put in a box, and so much to try to legislate. It would be, God, I hope we. I mean, it'd be great for our show. That'd be fantastic. We'd have endless content all the time. We could do trades and stuff. But I can't imagine
big the trades.
I can't imagine the coaches would be for that. Good Lord.
No, they'd hate that. I will say the flow of the information today and the things that we got to talk about actually just perfectly one after another. Because last week you got a chance to talk to Marcus Freeman. And I listened, and he basically said who his starting quarterback was without saying who his starting quarterback was. And then the next day or 2 days later, it was Angeli goes into the portal. And now I saw where he is visiting Syracuse, who happens to play at Notre Dame in November. Let's see it. Go for it. Don't let him leave, Fran. That'll be fun.
That's why you can't name your starting quarterback, man. Like, that's why you can't give away the information. That's why so many people are putting or and, like, and not giving that. And people are like, well, why are they not giving you information on the quarterback? That's exactly why. They want them to hang around so they can provide depth in that quarterback room. And then, yeah, they can leave. And next thing you know, they're going to somewhere else to go play. And obviously, they can come back to bite you, right? Exactly.
Very much so. Very much so. So speaking of Fran Brown, that we'll go there next.
What a story. I love Fran.
And there is probably no more person in college football to me at the moment that is a tell it like it is.
A real one. He's a real one. He is the definite. And he always has been. Like, that is who he is through and through. And he will shoot you as straight as it gets. Now, when he does a podcast, he won't curse as much. But, like, you get around him, like, just he's going to tell you exactly how he feels. It's freaking fantastic.
So, we talked about it last week. Big-time receiver Trevor Peña puts his name in the portal. And then Fran in an interview, and Coach Brown in an interview said, hey, we said, hey, you're going to get a raise. Here's the number. He wanted more. And then he made the $2 million for a receiver. He's like, that's the homie at Ohio State. I thought you would appreciate that quote from him. And then now Peña's, I saw where he hasn't signed, but he was visiting Penn State, which would be very much needed for them.
Yeah, definitely needed for them. But listen, Nico ain't the only one overplaying his hand. Nico ain't the only one that hears about these dollars being thrown around and then somebody puts in your ear that you're worth this. I mean, if you think about Payne, he had a great year this year. It was 941 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns. It's because they had really good weapons and they had a good quarterback that came in, spread the ball around and threw it for as well as anybody in the country. And before that, guess what? The year before, Peña had one catch. The two seasons before that, he had 2 catches. Like, it's not like he's been setting the world on fire.
Right.
And this is something that, listen, you're going to test and you're going to see, like, what can I go get? And when you put your name in the portal, you know, that Oklahoma kid, I'm sure we're going to talk about him as well. Stone, right? Like, sometimes you're going to put your name in the hat and then sometimes you're going to pull it back out because you're going to get a dose of reality of, hey, oh, thought I was worth a little bit more. Like, and that's okay. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world, but like, there's no real way because there's no CBA, because there's nobody really running college football, there's no way to really determine your value. Like, you'd love to be able to have somebody that would determine the value and maybe they could do something like that and make it more streamlined, but it's not. And because of that, you'll see some of this stuff and he could be back at Syracuse. Yeah. I mean, this is something that could absolutely happen again.
Yeah. And the Stone kid actually ends up, I saw where he withdrew his name.
Yeah. He's back at Oklahoma.
Back it up. Correct. And that was one of those, maybe they were like, hey, we'll give you a little bit more if you just stay around for a little bit longer.
And that was David Stone. He was a 5-star recruit.
Yeah, big-time recruit.
Big-time deal. Didn't obviously contribute as much as he wanted to for Oklahoma, put his name in the portal. He's going to come back and he's going to play and he's going to be a good player. But, like, you know, sometimes you need to see that and sometimes you do. Sometimes you will get a raise for that, by the way. And sometimes you won't. And you'll mess around and you'll Nico.
Yep. Very true. Now, speaking to me in terms of what the portal was actually, you mentioned this earlier, what the portal, at least initially what I thought it would be, is the heavyweights plugging holes and filling depth needs. And two heavyweights, Georgia and Texas, did that over the, well, Texas more so this over the past week, Georgia in a matter of like 30 minutes in a row or something like that, of those last night. What's funny is I completely put away any and all like phone, social media, all that sort of stuff yesterday.
That a boy.
And then I look at it this morning and, oh,
crap.
Add a little bit of news on the local front. And for those who don't know, I work for the Georgia Rival site. So that, yeah, that's very much news in our world. So running back Josh McCray from Illinois, edge defender Elo Madozi from Army, which is a whole other interesting case with how they transfer out of there and the timing of that. And then Josh Horton, a D lineman from Miami, who I think had played maybe like 50 snaps in 2 years, is more of a depth piece, former recruit type thing. So if you look at the totality of Georgia's transfer portal work with Zachariah Branch and Noah Thomas at wide receiver, you know, safety that adds to the safety room from the Harris kid from Miami, Branch's brother from USC. And then now these guys, they had holes. They've got maybe 14, 15 guys that might get drafted, potentially get drafted. They filled them. And this is what it is, I think. It's not – and the thing I look at it is, and much like with Texas. Now, Texas is one different thing because of the position, and we'll get to it in a second. But it's not about necessarily winning games. The players that are there currently are going to oftentimes, especially at quarterback, determine what win the games. But when you have these depth holes, it can cause you to lose games that maybe you wouldn't otherwise lose if you have an injury here or there. And this is what you're doing, is filling these depth holes.
Well, I do think, too, I think if you're reading the tea leaves a little bit, I also think it can tell you what they feel about certain positions. Because, and here's the thing. You go through spring, and you've got young guys who are talented. And you give them leash, and you give them rein, and you watch them go. And a lot of times you go, okay, not ready. And not ready. I got news for you as a coach, man. Because I am a coach and been a coach for years, you can't force it. You can see it, and the ability can be so far up here, it's crazy. But like just the processing it and then go, okay, wait a minute. Now in games, now shifts, formations, when it gets even bigger. I think there's a big part of that you go, experience, been in fires, done it, know what they can do. And so I think that you kind of, that's why the portal is so appetizing, right? Like, cause you can see that, and you can see guys that have done it, they've gained experience. And now instead of betting on a young kid that you know has a chance to be great, but will he be great right now? And will that cost me games right now? And so I think all universities are going through that. When I look at Georgia, I think you get the Horton out of the way because it's just like Texas for me with Johnson.
Depth piece for next year.
It's like Texas with it's Texas with Le'Veon Johnson. It's the same thing. It's depth. It's not a guy coming with a lot of fanfare. Now Horton was a pretty highly recruited 4-star kid from the state of Georgia, but it's a big body that you can rotate in that provides depth. Correct. I think that's a different piece. Now, McCray, I like a lot. And I think McCray, when you see ETN go to the NFL, when you see Branson Robinson for Georgia enter the transfer portal and leave at that spot, you know, that spot gets injured a lot because they're getting tackled with their legs and you just see injuries continue to mount up and happen. So you got a guy in McCray that I also think he's a different piece than Frazier. I think Frazier can be the lightning.
The lightning and the thunder.
Yeah, like this guy, McCray's 6'1", 235, and he runs with a purpose. Brent, I'm a nerd, I know, but I went back and watched him in all of his clips today. And one thing stuck out, pads always squared. 6 feet, 235, pads squared, good feel for people near his feet. He hasn't been worked that much. Like he doesn't have a ton of carries on his body. I don't think he's going to be asked to come in, but I think you immediately got a short yards back. I think you immediately got a goal line back and a guy that you can say with a lot of experience that if I need him and Frazier does get dinged or put the ball on the ground,
yeah.
which we've seen that movie several times. You bring in a guy that I think has experience that you can plug and play and you trust and can do a great job.
And also with Roderick Robinson, that similar styles, who hasn't been healthy, but when he's been healthy, has been effective. So you're almost, hey, I at least have two guys who can play that physical bruising style of back role. Madozi, thoughts on him?
This is a different animal to me. Now, this is a Georgia lost 32 of their 37 sacks to the draft. So, and then obviously the transfer. So, you know, they've lost. They're done. Like, they're done at that spot from experience. Like, having a guy that they know and trust off of the edge. So this guy's interesting, man. I went and watched him too. 6'3", 245. He ain't a typical Georgia guy. Like, this is not the typical mauler. Like, this is, you know, you think about, like, this is more like Adam Anderson, which was a kind of a one-off, wasn't he? Like, he was kind of a, yeah. Remember, he was twitchy, skinnier, slighter build. Like, you don't see a lot of Georgia guys that look like that. You know, like Jalen Walker played on the edge, obviously, some, but he didn't make a living. So I'm interested to see how they play him. Here's the thing that I really like about it. 2 years left. Betting on this, I think, too. Yeah. Because if you watch the kid, first of all, he came out of high school at 6'1", 190. Brent, 190. Like, he had to develop, although 6'3", 190, excuse me. Like, he had to develop, put weight on, 245. Coming from that kind of a program, the military service, by the way, too, no nonsense, don't mess around, like, knows how to be disciplined, knows how to be coached hard, plays special teams, blocked a field goal, blocked a punt. Like, this is a kid that, like, I think you say, I know exactly what his makeup is. He's doing this. I got to make him more physical. He'll get better coaching with me. He'll get more football-centric stuff with me. This is a guy that's going to be very interesting to me. He's not a home run. He's not a 10-sack guy. I'm going to plug and play. But I think he has a chance to be really, really good when he gets, you know, a little better coaching and more football. And I like the betting on this guy with 2 years left and with all the greenness you have at outside and pass rush. Yep. You need somebody that you can count on.
Gabe Harris, the leading returner in the edge room in terms of snaps, and I want to say it was like 150 something.
That ain't a lot
that he played. I haven't gotten a chance to watch a ton of him. I'm going to as soon as we get done with this, and we're going to do a Film Don't Lie on the UGA Sports YouTube deal on him. But what little I've seen, I feel like it's the Chaz Chambliss role that maybe he plays. So we'll see. Early downs, maybe not necessarily yet part of the pass rush package, unless you show something and you see something in him once he gets there that you maybe necessarily haven't seen yet. And obviously competition is going to get raised up to a
competition is going to get amped up, but he ain't big in the booty. You know, Chaz was a freaking hammer. Like, yes. Chaz ran through people's skulls. Chaz gave people nightmares. Like, Chaz didn't care. He was not scared. I'll be interested to watch. This guy's not that guy on the line of scrimmage. I'll be interested to see and how they use him. Obviously, we'll go a long way in determining that. But he's got a little shake off the edge. He plays hard. He's got a pretty good first step. Again, I'm not ready to say this is a slam dunk home run, but to get another guy,
it's the right take.
Yeah, another guy with experience. Another guy that I think has the right mindset for what you want to build and do. And you're betting on him continuing to work and grind because I don't feel like you're at Army without that. That's not.
It feels like innate a little bit.
You don't go there and like be a half acer. Those don't work.
No. And you think about after the year two is when you're seeing a lot of the service academy guys, if they do put themselves in the portal, it's after year two, because after that, they have to decide, you know, commit to the service part of it so they can before that commitment. But yeah, other sort of quieter news with Georgia on the portal, Nitro Tuggle and Marcus Easley put their names in the portal. I thought that was interesting because maybe that's an indirect way of saying
bye-bye,
see you later. Yep.
That obviously is happening more and more. I think Georgia fans got disappointed when Nitro Tuggle after last season put his name in the transfer portal just because of his name. Like, It's just cool. Nitro, like a receiver named Nitro. That's
yes.
You're like, I'm betting on the come. Like, surely that guy's got some acceleration, right? Like, surely he can fly. But yeah, I've heard pretty good things about Thomas and Branch. I ain't gonna lie, especially Branch. Like,
yes.
I've heard some things from quarterbacks in that room that were just like, yeah, it's a little different. I ain't seen that since I've been here.
Okay. A little nugget for you. That'll be aggregated later. The other team, Texas, they took by the way, they took one of the many who were leaving Cal, tight end Jack Indries. And then the Maryland DT, LaVon Johnson, you've already talked about. And then for
just
me,
for depth. Most,
yep. But the most important thing, Mason Shipley, kicker. Texas State, who was at like, I want to say perfect on field goals. And
he was 31 of 35 in his career at Texas State.
Yeah. Last year was all good there.
Texas, and listen, we're not going to make it a habit of talking about kickers on See Ball, Get Ball. That's just not what we are going to do, I promise.
But in terms of impacting winning and losing, that one might impact.
They were 64% on field goals last year.
Because
like, and you saw it in the college football playoff rearing its ugly head. You saw it against Georgia rearing its ugly head. Like, so I think it's something that needed to be addressed. And it's nice to go in there and get a guy that has experience, you know, long field goals, you know, just pretty consistent. Actually missed more PATs than he missed field goals, which is interesting. Yeah, that was a big deal. And then they got Emmett Mosley, which I think
we mentioned last week. That's a big
is obviously the bigger deal just with them, just because, you know, you put out guys to the NFL, and now this is back to back years probably with Texas with first round picks. So that's something you can start recruiting and doing. But obviously we dressed the Mosley, but just a guy that showed some playmaking ability as a true freshman and some speed, and you know Sark knows how to use you. I imagine that will continue to be a good thing. But yeah, I mean, kickers, you need them. And by the way, why bet on a high school kid when I can go to get a college kid that I've seen do it in clutch moments and big situations and go make me some field goals?
The Cal part with the portal has been an interesting one there with the way where they hired Ron Rivera as general manager. And I saw a quote that I wanted to get your take on. He said, "People are wondering if I have the power to make decisions." He said, "Yes, I do. I'm driving the car." Chancellor Lyons, Jim Knowlton, which is the athletic director, and Justin Wilcox, head coach, are in the car with me. We're all charting a course, but I'm driving. We have a plan. We are fortifying key positions as we speak. I'm excited about the team we are building. The general manager driving, I think that's an interesting just general conversation, not necessarily one about specifically at Cal, but what's thoughts there?
Well, that's what you're hired to do. You're hired to take the direction. I wouldn't say this publicly, by the way, because these coaches are getting paid a lot of money to do their job. So I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch the general managers in college football. And the power struggle is real and everywhere, by the way. Like the power struggle and people with power, it's going to be a big deal. And who has it, who doesn't, who announces they have it. I wouldn't announce I have it. I don't know why you'd say that. I really don't. I don't see the point. It should be a we thing. It shouldn't be a me thing. But they also hired Brian Harsin as their offensive coordinator. Yep. And there's some talk about that and about the locker room. And so like Cal is a disaster right now, like an absolute disaster. I'll say this. If you've watched Justin Wilcox coach the game of football, the dude's a good coach. Like Cal has been consistently competitive with way less talent. He's confusing on defense, always develops no name guys and plays good defense, plays a good brand of physical ball. Like they've never had great
drafted on defense.
Yeah, but they've never really had a great offense. But even their quarterback, was it Mendoza? What was the quarterback's name?
Like, Mendoza, who's now in Indiana.
He's going to Indiana, and he's going to ball out. And you're going to be like, where did he come from? And another guy from Cal. And so I think Wilcox has actually driven the ship really nicely throughout his tenure in Cal, in Berkeley. And so I don't see the point in saying that, but we've got GMs now, and that's their general manager. Their title is to make sure that they're managing all the things. So,
all right. Last couple things, some fun stuff. Which one of these do you maybe believe the least or is the most shocking to you? And I'm going to give you some numbers. This comes from David Hale, who tweeted these various records of programs.
Okay.
So Alabama is 4-4 in its last 8 games. versus FBS opponents. USC is 12-12 in its last 24 games versus the Power Five. Auburn is 11. Go and say, go ahead.
That feels about right. Yeah. I mean, you're saying these are all true, or you're saying these are, we're picking which one's true?
No, these are all true. I'm just, which one's the most surprising to you? Okay. Auburn is 11-26 versus the Power Five since 2021. Only Vandy is worse in the SEC. Florida is 6-21 in his last 27 games on the road or away from home. Clemson has 11 losses since the start of 2022. They had 10 from 2015 to 2021.
Jeez.
And then Kansas State has as many Power Five wins in the last 3 years, 23, as Alabama.
Wow.
So which of those kind of
– read the Auburn one again.
Another good one, by the way. Florida State is 17-13 in its last 30 games versus the Power Five, which includes a 16-game winning streak. So that's a really bad
one and 11.
One and one, yeah, within there, 1-12. Yeah,
yeah, that might be the most. What was the Auburn one again?
11-26 versus the Power Five since 2021. Only Vandy is worse in the SEC.
By the way, send this to me because this is all good stuff. The Clemson one's shocking. How about the Alabama 4-4 versus? Like FBS. Nick Saban, FBS. That's like Nick Saban. That's like in Nick Saban's 10-year run, he probably barely lost four games. I mean, in that
especially prime to like of his unranked, career. A big long streak against unranked.
Yes, I mean that's incredible. That's a lot of ungood numbers. I bet there's a lot of programs that really don't like hearing that. I mean, Clemson's felt like that, by the way. Clemson's felt like, you know, they've had a struggle. Their stretch feels. You know, when you watch them lose at home to Louisville, you're like, gosh, dang, this ain't Clemson. You know, you've felt that erode. You felt Alabama erode last year a little bit, but you still thought they had some capability of playing great ball. Auburn has felt like a struggle bus for a while now. I guess the biggest – which one are you betting on changing? I mean, I feel really good that Clemson's going to turn that around big time, and it's going to be more like that other decade than it's going to be what they've been since 2022.
Ooh, yeah, that's actually. Florida State can't be that bad in terms of.
They got to turn it around, right?
As bad as they were, there's nowhere to go but up at Florida State to me. One other interesting one, since we talked about him last week with the numbers being retired. Colorado is 2-9 versus winning Power Five teams under Dion. So, just some random, interesting college football stats. That
hey, but you know what? But you know what? Shador's jersey will be retired.
Yes, it will be forever inked in Colorado lore. Speaking of QBs and speaking of Shador, that's how I wanted to end it today. If that's all right with you, the draft. It's kind of a big deal. It's this week. It's Thursday night, round one, and I'm going to give you a number, and are you going to take the over or the under? Quarterbacks in round one, 2.5.
Under.
So you do not believe that Jackson Dart and or Jalen Milroe get into round one?
I don't.
You think it's just Shador and Cam Ward, or is it just Cam Ward?
I think it's Cam Ward, and I think it's Shador much later than people think it's going to happen. I just don't. I can't pull the trigger. Shador is good. Do not get me wrong. But there's plenty of really good quarterbacks in college football. I don't know about the pocket presence. I don't know how much it will change. I don't think there's going to be a team high in the draft that's going to pull the trigger and say, I'm going to take Shador. I couldn't. I'm just telling you, I couldn't. I don't think Cam Ward's a lock by any stretch. Like Cam Ward has magic and he has fun and he brings some of those Caleb Williams elements, good and bad. He's the same type of like, I miss the stuff that I want you to hit. I miss the layups. I miss the easy. Sometimes I make this too hard than I need. I make it harder than I need to. And so, you know, listen, quarterback's the most overvalued position. It's because it's so valuable. It's overvalued in the draft and you're trying to find it. That's why I say that. And so I think that I think with the defensive line being so good in this draft and so many safe picks in this draft, or picks that you're going to feel really good about, and especially early in the draft, because depth is good, but like getting the upper echelon guys, there's a lot of defensive linemen that are going to be taken 10th as a defensive lineman that are still really freaking good, that people are going to go, I'd feel good if that guy was in the top 15 and I'm going to get him at 30, you know? So I'm not doing it. So I don't think it will. I think it'll be the under.
So I circled that. We'll rehash that.
What'd you say? Monday. Did you have an opinion?
I think it'll be over. I think there'll be a third. I think, cause I just,
it's what usually happens.
It's Milroe or Dart. One of them is going to go, just because there's no way they're inviting both of them there, if at least one of them's not going in round one. And I'm not going if I'm either of them. I'm not going in round one.
So yeah, I think it'd be tough.
The Steelers at 21, I think they take somebody.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
They have to, I think.
But here's the thing. You know, both guys, you know, have showed flashes of greatness. I will say that. Both guys have shown flashes where you go, okay, that looks really, really good. I'm betting on Jackson Dart more than I'm betting on Jalen Milroe. But Jalen Milroe has the elite trait. Yeah, the elite trait that, again, in the beginning, I don't have to be a pass-centric team. I can be a run-centric team and use what he does best as he continues to evolve and grow into the offense. And that's the fun thing. That's the fun thing about watching the NFL now. They do it. They don't actually just ask him to go be the same quarterback that they used to have. They're doing a much better job of developing the game around these guys' skill sets and what they do well. And they both got great skill sets. I mean, great skill sets. And Jalen Milroe is a great human. Jackson Dart has, like, they have good character that I think people absolutely can fall in love with. Like, that's a good, there's plenty of pluses to put in that column. But, you know, you're drafting the leader of your franchise, and taking him high, obviously, is an interesting deal. But hey, listen, next week, by the time we get here next week, the transfer portal will be closed. And that will be interesting to see where everybody's roster's at. We can start thinking about now, like, what everybody's team looks like. And, you know, you're starting to get – everybody's finishing spring ball, obviously, now, and they're done. And now it starts to get, you know, to the what the team is going to be. And so it's fun. It's unique. It'll be fun to talk about here. And we'll be back with you Monday talking some more football. So we'll see you guys, and thank you guys for listening.